It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Offensively, he just got a short, simple swing. He's got a good game plan. He always puts good swings on the ball from the left side. And that's aside from leadership and, his ability to receive games, call games. He's just been a nice addition to our club.
That was Joe Espada on Caratini. Caratini hits a home run to win the game last night. The Astros have now won 3 in a row. They get Verlander on the mound tonight. Chance to string something together. They're going to need a lot of that. Still 10-19 on the year. They got a long uphill climb. And sure, they're talented enough to do this over the next month. And all of a sudden, we're talking about a team in contention again, at least for an AOS or a wild card spot. World Series stuff, playoff stuff, down the line. But they're going to have to play really good baseball to make up for what has been an awful start. And they're still in the midst of it, but it was a nice way to close out last night. You had the good feelings of Joey Loperfido getting his first major league hit in his first game. He didn't play first base. John Singleton did that. John Singleton, the beneficiary of Jose Abreu going down to Florida to work on his timing. So all in all, if you exclude the things we're used to, as far as why this team isn't good, they worked it out. They found a way. And at this point, we'll take it because this has been a team who has done that in the past, just find a way to win. It hasn't been a case at least often enough this year, but it was last night. They get their first extra inning win, and Victor Caratini is the hero, thankfully for him, or thankfully for us. He's been a good addition. So back up the catcher position solid for the Astros. Questions in other spots. I did want to get to this, and we'll keep it short because I want to give Sean an opportunity to answer your phone calls without having to run the show as well. And I bring that up because we're giving away a $25 gift card to Highway Cantina. It's an Edo, but 11:15. Sean has already X'd you out, so you don't jump the line. But 11:15, you got a chance to win a $25 gift card to Highway Cantina. It's a great Tex-Mex destination. They brought great food yesterday. They fed a lot of people. They showed up, and everyone was happy. Even if you just wanted a drink, I think they had 2 1-gallon jugs of margaritas for the people here. They do a great job with everything. You can go there before and after ball games, and maybe you want to go there for Cinco de Mayo. They'll have you covered. Thanks to Highway Cantina, they're our featured restaurant of the week. Caller 5 at 11:15 wins a $25 gift card to Highway Cantina. So, Sanders versus the world. If you don't know, there's been a lot of tumult at Colorado. Guy transferring out, I think. The number was 53 scholarship players transferred out over the last year. 85 is the number you're allowed to carry. Now, Deion Sanders was very open about this. He needed to change the culture, change the roster over because they weren't a good football team. Why would I keep all these guys when they weren't good? That's an understandable approach to roster building and roster transition. But the way he did it, people are taking the task. In an Athletic article, Xavier Smith was the star of the article. He is now, I believe, at UTEP. He was at Austin Peay last year. He transferred out of Colorado, mostly due to the fact that he didn't feel like Deion was treating him, I guess, like a proper human being. He said, "You never even tried to get to know me." He was destroying guys' confidence. There are other quotes from the article where it doesn't look great for Deion. And I think most of the college football establishment has decided Deion's not good for the sport. There are going to be people who push back on that and say he's doing it a different way. We know Deion has talked about how people take issue when you see a confident, successful black man. This is how you come at him. You know, his son is going to back his dad, and he responded to Xavier Smith's comments. Well, I don't even remember him, to be honest. Bro had to be very mid at best. Well, he was a freshman at a Power 5 school. Generally, a lot of them aren't ready to go right away. So when another player from the Colorado roster showing a practice clip of this kid not being able to cover you when you're wearing a shirt and t-shirt. So what? He's a freshman. Is he ready to play on the Power 5 level early? No. Shador Sanders, that kid's literally 18 years old. You're a grown man. You've been playing college football for several years now. Why would he be at your level? And maybe he's just not as talented as you. That happens. But to go after him because he was mid as a freshman, it's a little rough. And this is why I'm going to ask Sean before we go. Do you think Shador Sanders will catch more slander than we've ever seen for a guy during the draft process, considering how boisterous he is, his father, the position he plays? Is he going to catch it more than anyone ever?
I think so because of two things that you mentioned. A, his father and himself, honestly.
Like, yeah, he's helped.
With this situation, like, there's no actual reason for them to cannonball into this, especially this way, being like, yeah, that guy sucks.
He wasn't good. Who cares?
That and mixed with the fact that it'd probably be a first-round pick, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if
apparently top five, that's what they think. That's
and
what the reports have said.
If this draft taught you anything, as long as you're one of the five best quarterbacks in your draft, you will go in the top 10.
You got a real shot.
You have a good shot of going to the top 10. So, I think him being the first-round pick and probably one of the faces of the draft. I mean, the quarterbacks are always kind of the main characters of every draft class. And you throw in the fact that he's not going to shy away from the slander that comes his way. He's going to clap back. Might not always be, what you want to do is to clap back at everything. You know, I can't imagine what Bob McGinn.
Yeah, and the Bob McGinn report on Shador Sanders may be as damaging as what Kendrick did to Drake.
It's just going to be a 6-minute podcast
of him.
I hate the way that you walk. I hate the way that you talk.
We don't want you playing quarterback more. Oh, you thought I was going to say something else. I made you nervous.
I didn't know Bob McGinn could do that.
He can't, and I can't. Well, I could, but it wouldn't help. It wouldn't be great for me. Just listen to Kendrick Lamar, Euphoria, about Drake. You'll get the reference.
All the way to the end.
All the way to the end. It's a long song, 6 minutes worth of Drake barbs from Kendrick. It's going to be a hit. It'll probably go to number one, even with the 6-minute length of the song. We want to get back on time, at least I do. We're seconds away from, or at least you guys are, from potentially winning Highway Cantina, a gift card from Highway Cantina. Sean will take care of you there. We'll be back shortly.
ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
We talked some about the injuries in the NBA. Another one that will affect the playoffs, at least tonight, is Kawhi Leonard. He will not be available for Game 5, and really, if you're the Clippers, you're probably, yes! Because they have been bad with him on the floor, pretty good with him off. They have won the two games where he did not participate, lost the two that he has, and they've gotten off to great starts in both games he didn't play. Now, in Game 4, it got real touchy, real sketchy for them. After Kyrie's great layup in the fourth quarter, they actually lost the lead. Then Paul George hit a great shot from the corner that gave them lead that they never relinquished. So Kawhi Leonard, whose career in L.A., and really since he begged off of San Antonio because I guess he felt they didn't treat his injury and the way he decided he wanted to come back from it well, he hasn't been a guy who you can depend on. The one Toronto run aside, and that lasted a year when they won the title, Kawhi doesn't play a lot of basketball. He misses playoff games, and he'll miss his third of the series. And the Clippers will try to overcome that. Luka's dealing with a knee thing. He'll be available. It is a series that's lived up to the expectations. We've had a couple non-competitive games, but for the most part, this is a series we expect it to be good, and it has been. And you've gotten great performances from Paul George, James Harden, Kawhi. I mean, excuse me, not Kawhi. Luka and Kyrie. So your stars have shown up. The one who hasn't is the one hampered by injury, and he won't be available tonight.
And like you said, for Kawhi, that's kind of par for the course. I mean, since the 2019 championship with Toronto, he finished the 2020 playoffs, and then he has not played.
But he also had a lot of time off because it was after COVID stopped the season, and they played in the bubble.
And basically, since then, he hasn't finished a season. In 2021, he wasn't available at the end. He tore his ACL against Utah. And then 2022, he missed because he was still recovering from the ACL. Last year, he played really well. The first, I think, game, maybe two games of the Phoenix series, went out with injury. And this series as well. He can manage it pretty well in the regular season. It's just in the postseason, you need to play every other game. And you're not just play, you're playing high intensity, and you're going to have to play 40 minutes a night, and his body just can't do that.
No, you're right. And you know what? The Clippers were like, yeah, we'll give you an extension anyway. I know all that stuff is true. We all know that, but we're stuck, so we're going to give you a lot of money. The guy they didn't give an extension to is Paul George. He has a player option. Now, he's had his injury issues, but he's been more available than Kawhi. Certainly has in this series. He's got a $48 million option, nearly $49 million player option. He's expected to opt out and become a free agent. So the Clippers might be losing the guy they can most depend on. And they're going to
have James Harden. They still have James Harden.
Yeah, that's the funny part, that James will play all the games. He just can't be expected to be great when it matters most.
Yeah, so both Paul George and James Harden can be free agents. James Harden will be a free agent.
Yeah,
Paul George can be a free agent. They're probably going to try to re-sign both.
Yeah. The question will be, will Paul George see their unwillingness to give him an extension as a bit of a disrespect? We never know.
Maybe.
They gave one to Kawhi. They came in at the same time. If I'm Paul George, look, it's L.A. from where he's from. It'll be a lot of money if they do bring him back. But maybe he thinks, wait a minute. Why am I the one who has to wait to see when you gave this guy one and he's not even capable of making it through a playoff series?
If you're Steve Ballmer, though.
Who's got all the money.
You have all the money. Money is actually no object to you. You're moving into a new arena
definitely.
Next year.
You need those guys. You can't go in with Kawhi and Norm Powell as your two best players.
Can you go in with Kawhi and James Harden and Norm Powell? Avita Zubats, too?
That team's not good enough. You would think.
Is this team good enough?
That's the point.
Is the team with three of them good enough?
They're probably not good enough.
You could save yourself paying
Paul George
$55
million. But you mentioned
million.
The arena. Can you go into that arena letting the world know that you expect to be like a 7 or 8 seed? That's where you're topping out at? Can you do that?
They've been like a 4 or 5 seed every year but those guys have been
but
together.
Even the imagination lets you think, well, we got Kawhi and Paul, and then we add James. Even if you can delude yourself into thinking you're a real title contender, you can't delude yourself next year if you're depending on James Harden, Kawhi.
Also, who are these fans that we're talking about deluding themselves?
Every fan base has them. They're the same fans who
I just mean like, literally, who are Clipper fans? Like, if you're a Clippers fan right now, if you're
you think
still
you can win the
Clippers
series,
fan, if you're an excited Clippers fan today, even after Lob City, after Donald Sterling, watch Clipped coming out June 4th.
Do you work for FX and Hulu?
after this whole Kawhi Leonard era, like, you're just in. You're in, no
of
matter
course,
what.
They're fans.
They can throw out anybody on that court, and you're.
But they don't think they're title contenders. If you can legitimately, particularly if you win this series, and Kawhi might come back, I think they would believe they have a shot against OKC, and then all of a sudden you're in a Western Conference Finals. So if you have the capability of making a Western Conference Finals, even when you have the behemoth that is likely Denver waiting for you, although that Nuggets-Wolves series should be a good one. We'll see how Jamal Murray's calf, if that'll last through the rest of the playoffs, played great in a game where he was questionable. But if you can get to a Western Conference Finals, you can believe that, hey, maybe a tweak here, some better health, we can make a run to a title, and Steve Ballmer's certainly going to convince himself. He's got to bring him back, if particularly if Paul George wants to come back.
But
Of course, they have to make it there.
A, they can still just lose in the first round. They can lose the
next game.
That's
definitely a possibility.
And be out. But B, if the Clippers wanted to sign Paul George, wouldn't they have done it already?
This is, I don't know the intricacies of that back and forth. Maybe they didn't want to give him all that he wanted. Because they gave Kawhi every, hey, just take it. We're not even going to negotiate. Just have all the money. Maybe they had some trepidation about giving that to both guys who have missed time.
And then theoretically give Harden a deal.
Yeah, is Harden taking less than he can get?
Probably not.
We just know that.
Ask Daryl Morey if he is.
Well, somebody's a liar. That's why that relationship ended as poorly as it did. I don't know if Steve Ballmer's a liar. We don't know that he made a promise to Harden. But we know if he wants to give all those guys max money, he can, and it wouldn't even be a drop in the bucket for him.
Well, not for him personally, financially, but it would also make building the Clippers very hard.
Well, they're all in. What are they going to do? Are they going to...
No, but I just, like, you're just going to start... The punitive measures in the new CBA, if you're over the second, like Phoenix is going to run into this.
There are things that your movement, you can pay all the tax you want, but there are things that restrict what you can do as far as mid-level and all that type of stuff.
So now that you've paid all these guys probably $50 million per year, so you're already over the tax with those three guys. Never mind anyone else that you sign. How are you going to get better with a guy who can't finish a season, Paul George and James Harden?
This is the thing. They've already committed. I wouldn't have signed Kawhi to an extension. I would have let this season play out. And, of course, then you come to it, and now you've pissed off Kawhi. Understood. And you know he can be mercurial. If you piss him off, he may not ever play for you again.
Weirdly is the one that you're like, let's just – if we're signing a terrible deal and they might all three be terrible – actually, it's likely all three of them will be terrible deals.
Yeah, because they're all in their – Mid-30s.
Kawhi is the one that's like, you know what, let's not test this guy.
He's the one who you probably can't reason with if you come back. Oh, you know what, Kawhi?
Let's not play hardball.
We want you back. We just didn't want to give it to you at that number. We want to see you prove yourself and be healthy, which obviously he hasn't done. He's the one who goes, F you, I'm going someplace else. That's like, you could probably massage the Paul George relationship and bring him back. James is looking for his money. He wants to stay in LA. He could probably, and you didn't have to promise him anything. In fact, you were his lifeline to get him out of Philly. He's probably just, he won't take anything, but as long as you don't insult him, he's coming back. The problem for the Clippers is, and it goes all the way back to giving up all that money, all the picks and all the capital for Shea. For Paul, but you gave up Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Yeah, you're right. They had to get Kawhi, and to convince Kawhi, they had to go get Paul George. So they've been bending the knee to Kawhi for years now, and it hasn't worked out. And would they be better off if they, you know, said, hey, Paul, we'll come get you? Actually, they couldn't. Hey, Kawhi, either you come with us or not, but we're going to build around Shea. It would have taken longer, and they needed to be relevant. But years later, without even a Western Conference final appearance?
They made one.
Okay, one.
They made the 2021.
Okay, they made one. Years later, one Western Conference Finals appearance, and the Denver Nuggets have surpassed you. Would they have been better off just sticking with Shea and building around him? Maybe. I don't know if I can trust them to have made the right decisions to build a team around a young star. But it'll be one of those things that you question about the Clippers, particularly if this run ends the way it likely will end, without a title and an injured Kawhi not finishing the playoffs.
Yeah, it's just an interesting spot where if I'm Steve Ballmer, I'm like, well, can I not be in the second apron and just have two stars on the marquee, or do I have to have three marquee
stars?
Gotta
fill that building.
For Clippers fans who have...
Yes, they'll show up to the building, and a building of their own. No, they're no longer tenants of the Lakers?
I'm saying if you have all three guys...
Clippers fans will show up.
I'm saying if I was a Clippers fan, I'd be like, What are we doing this for? What are we doing this for?
You keep the lie alive, Sean, as long as you can. That's what Steve Ballmer has to do. Keep it
Clippers
alive.
Clippers fans are the biggest suckers in the world.
If they're
still buying into, I'm sure, not just the Clippers franchise.
The Browns sell out games. I mean.
But the Browns don't have the Patriots in the same city.
It's true.
That's the issue. They like you. already being a Clippers fan in LA, a local LA Clipper fan, already kind of tells you something about the person. That
you root
not
for
a
the
Lakers
underdog.
Fan.
You root for the underdog.
Hipster.
You go against the grain.
No, yeah, you're contrarian. That's what it is. And you've gotten rewarded for being a contrarian with Blake Griffin, Chris Paul,
Doc Rivers,
Donald Sterling. Watch clipped June 4th.
Once again, somehow he weaseled in another promo for whatever reason.
Kawhi Leonard.
Did Lawrence Fishburne hit your DMs and go, hey, keep mentioning it. You'll get a couple bucks.
It's the guy who plays Matt Barnes, actually.
Okay. The fake Jason Capone playing J.J. Redick mentioned you. And speaking of J.J. Redick, we're gonna hear some sound from him. He was on the Ryan Clark podcast. I think it's called The Pivot, and it's funny. J.J. did a great job of navigating this conversation, much like he navigates around screens to get an open shot. So we'll talk about that coming up here. Just some sound that I found interesting, and it's really just nonsense. But it's those two along with Channing Crowder, the former NFL linebacker, and Fred Taylor, the longtime Jaguar running back. They had a conversation with J.J. Redick, who's in line for at least one NBA coaching job, and you'll hear him throughout the playoffs on ESPN. But he sat down with The Pivot, and we'll talk about that. But before we do, I want to tell you about Aqueduct Plumbing. There are multiple things that Aqueduct Plumbing provides, whether it be the repiping, you just need a contractor to come out and inspect. Maybe you got fixtures that you need help with. They take care of you. Whether it be new construction, a remodel, they do all the things that keep your home looking great. It's your home. You want to feel good walking in it. You're bringing people to your home. You want to be able to show it off and not be embarrassed by it. And what's more embarrassing than a leak in your home? And you have to explain away, oh, my flooring's damaged because of a leak. You don't want that. You want the repiping, because the repiping is preventative. It'll keep those leaks from happening. And there's nothing worse in your home than bad water. And where do you get bad water from? Bad pipes. Old, rusted pipes can change the complexion of your home, whether it be the flooring or the walls or the smell, because you're using that bad water for your laundry. You're using that bad water to wash your hands. You're using that bad water to shower. There's nothing good about bad water, and that stems from rusted, dirty, old pipes. The repiping will take care of that. They have local contractors who will take care of you. They're a local company, and the local company will take care of the local customers. That's what Aqueduct Plumbing is all about. You can call them at 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238. Or just go to the website, aqueductplumbingcompany.com, to see all the services they provide. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
We got a couple more segments to go before we wrap it up. Gallant and George will follow us, and then the Killer Bees after them. And remember, if you are in to Tex-Mex, Highway Cantina has you taken care of. We gave away a gift card earlier today. They'll be giving away gift cards later on the other shows and also throughout the week. We will continue to do that. So just listen. You love good Tex-Mex. You want to go to a place in Edo. It's a place you can go before and after games to enjoy yourself. The margaritas, I'm not a drinker, but Sean had one. How was it?
It was very good. It was very good. Enjoyed it during Gallant and George.
I saw that. And then I know Paul filled up. I think he went a little stronger than you did. You had like a little cup.
Yeah, the cup that Brian was handing out, yes.
Paul, I think. Did he fill up a...
He filled up a Stanley cup to the brim.
Paul, do you have a problem, Paul? Do you want to talk about it? Nah, it's just a margarita. We're good. But yeah, they hooked us up yesterday. They'll hook you up if you decide to head out there to enjoy yourself. Good Tex-Mex. I enjoyed the taquitos. I love those. They were big time yesterday. So go stop by Highway Cantina. I want to get to a couple things before we get out of here. J.J. Redick if you don't know, he's in line possibly for the Charlotte Hornets job. Some people think he's on his podcast with LeBron because he's LeBron's next head coach, because people like to connect the dots. Who knows where LeBron's going to go? I don't think LeBron's going to join a place where J.J. Redick is a potential option, because LeBron's probably going to join a place where a title is in line if he joins them. If you don't know, he's going to opt out of his final year of his deal with the Lakers, so he'll be a free agent. I don't know if J.J. Redick is going to get that type of opportunity coaching a potential championship team. Charlotte feels like a place where he fits. Hey, just go learn the trade. Coach Brandon Miller. See how that works out for you. And LaMelo, if he can ever stay healthy. But he was on the – J.J. Redick was on the Pivot podcast with Ryan Clark. And I bring this up because it has a local tie. He had his career high against the Rockets. And so I guess Ryan Clark did the research, or one of his producers did. And this is how the conversation went.
Do you find it ironic that your career high was on Martin Luther King Jr. Day? No, I'm just saying. Like, is that lost upon you?
He got a little that, he got a little
that you hit, is it lost upon you that you hit 40 on, like, one of the few days we have, JJ? We don't have a lot of it's a huge NBA day. Martin Luther King Jr. is all over the court. And now that I know you, I know you're not the whitest human I've ever seen. But at the time, you seem like the whitest human I've ever seen. And then you go for 40 on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I mean, like, how proud of you are that?
He pointed up.
Oh, man. I know what you're doing here. I know what you're doing here.
Did you set out that day that way? Were you like, man, listen, like, it's their day. I'm finna go drop 40.
Houston had beat us. They the year before in the playoffs, they came back from 3-1 down. They beat us. They had beat us earlier in the year. It was like they had our number. Right. So, like, there was a – I knew it was Martin Luther King Day, okay? But we were playing a team that had our number. I was trying to get a win,
all right?
That's all that happened.
No, I just –
you're always talking about reparations. 40 acres in a mule. Take these 40 points.
Take these 40 points.
I love it. Hold up.
The best line is from Fred Taylor. He was on the reparations and the mule. By the way, you can watch Clipped on FX and Hulu, June 4th. J.J. Redick's, I don't know if it'll be his doppelganger, because I don't think the guy's going to look like J.J., but J.J. Redick will be featured in that series, too.
I also don't think they're going to do the MLK Day career high.
No, I don't think that'll be a B story arc in that show. I don't think that'll be brought up at all.
J.J. Redick lacing him up extra tight that morning?
Yeah.
You don't think that's going
to... Like, Channing Crowder, you might have heard him go, like, after he put up his 40 point up to the sky. I don't think we're going to see J.J. Redick go, I did it for you, after he cooked the Rockets on that particular MLK Day. We're just tying in other things that have happened on the show. I remember pulling that clip because I thought it was funny. J.J. Redick, he's a guy who went from maybe the most, as you heard Ryan Clark say, the whitest guy he had ever seen, pretty much, at the whitest university. We attribute college basketball whiteness to Duke. He was a villain. He's gone from villain to a guy people didn't think could play in the NBA, to a legitimately good NBA player, to a well-liked analyst, a guy who has to float through criticizing players and being a former player, and you never hear him catch heat for that. We know other guys have. And now he's looked at as a guy who you go to when you want to hear about basketball. And now a potential head coach in the NBA. That's a good arc for him.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd be a head coach.
I don't think so. It seems like he's got a good life. He must love ball. He's got to love ball. If he wants to coach the Charlotte Hornets, he's got a good life.
You have to love ball if you want to coach the Charlotte Hornets.
Your first job is going to try to resurrect that franchise?
Yeah. I mean, at least
Steve Nash got to coach the Nets.
Yeah, and Jay Kidd also got to coach the Nets.
Yeah, Darvin Ham got to coach the Lakers.
Yeah.
Like, J.J. Redick's first job is going to Charlotte and coaching Brandon Miller, LaMelo Ball, whoever else is on that roster, and Miles Bridges?
And if you're going to do the reason we bring up Steve Nash and Kidd is because that they kind of did the skip the line.
Yeah, they didn't have to be assistants. They got to coach good basketball teams.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how good the Bucks were when Kidd took over. But
well, he took over the Nets first.
Okay, you're right. Yeah, yeah.
He stabbed the Nets in the back and went to the
Bucks. Yeah, he was one of their legends because, you know, a couple finals runs went in his time there. And Steve Nash got the coach. Well, they asked him to. They wanted him to. The Harden, Kyrie, Durant team, and it was more Durant and Kyrie who got him there. Obviously, Harden joined later. So J.J. Redick, he'd be skipping the line because he wouldn't be an assistant. But isn't it punishment enough to be the Hornets coach?
He's skipping the line, but he's not going to the front.
No.
He's skipping the line and going, you know, 29 spots
deep. Yeah, it's a midnight release of a video game. And sure, you don't have to be the last person there, but you're still 23 people deep in the line.
Whoever, you know, Royale Ivy or Tiago Splitter, the Rockets assistants, like, he's cutting them.
Yeah.
He's not cutting everybody.
No,
he's still going to the Hornets.
True. Speaking of Rockets assistants, all these former Rockets, did you know that Pablo Prigioni is an assistant for the Timberwolves?
Yeah.
I saw him yesterday. That's Pablo. Pablo's out there.
Hey, there he is.
I recognize that face.
Yeah, talking about Clipped on FX June 4th. He was part of the team that sent him packing.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't play big minutes or any minutes in that fourth quarter comeback. But, yeah, he was on that team. I remember him.
He played in Game 7.
He did play in Game 7.
Big steal in Game 7.
You remember that steal.
Yeah. I mean, they're up like 25. So.
Yeah. It wasn't a big steal.
Pablo Prigioni was in the game.
It wasn't
a big steal.
It just happened to be a steal in the game because they were blowing out the Clippers that day. And that spurred J.J. Redick to have a career high. Not because he was getting something back for the white people on MLK Day. It's just, hey, man, I'm tired of getting my brain beat in by these Rockets. So he went out there and did well.
On MLK
Day. I'm not going to say he was motivated, but I can't say he wasn't, despite what he says.
What Ryan Clark was saying is right. It is like a big NBA
day. It
night.
Is a big NBA
they,
day,
They have
yeah.
a bunch of it is, national televised games.
It is the NBA's day. It is.
It was J.J. Redick's day that day.
He took it from Dr. King. At least in that game he did. It's about me.
This is J.J. Redick day.
Yeah, exactly.
MLK.
MLK. I don't,
J.J.R. What?
Respect. R.I.P. But today is about me. It's about me.
I'm getting my lick back.
Yeah, for what you guys did to me in the previous postseason. J.J. Redick on the pivot. We got one more segment to go here. And we'll wrap it up with the odds are out. Not for anything that important, but we talked about guys who caught slander in the draft process. Well, some of those guys are now up for Offensive Rookie of the Year. I'll give you some of those numbers and see who can duplicate what CJ Stroud did. We'll get into that because some guys are in a better position than others. And despite their painted nails or crying with their mother, that stuff all goes away now that you're the number one overall pick. And now people are betting or placing bets on whether you can win Offensive Rookie of the Year. We'll talk about that and a couple other things before we wrap it up.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really. Okay.
That's Michael Carroll. He went to see The Fall Guy yesterday, so he'll have a non-spoiler review on Friday. Michael Carroll out there going to screenings.
Yeah.
Appreciate him.
Must be nice.
I'm sure it was. He told me about it yesterday. Oh, duh, I'm gonna go see The Fallout. Excuse me, not Fallout. We do talk about that show, but The Fall Guy. I was like, oh, okay. Trying to get to more screenings. Oh. Just going to try to get to more screenings, huh? Where's my invite?
Yeah, come on.
Well, now we thank Michael Carroll for his service. And by service, I mean getting to see free movies.
Earlier
than everyone else. But we will talk about that on Friday. Thanks to Michael Carroll for always joining us. He is one of the hosts of Comicast. He and Jong Lee. I mentioned before we went to break, the odds for Offensive Rookie of the Year are out. And the obvious choice is the number one overall pick. Now, number one overall pick hasn't won the Offensive Rookie of the Year since 2019. That was Kyler Murray. But the favorite right now at plus 200, according to DraftKings, is Caleb Williams. You think about who he will be throwing the ball to, DJ Moore, Rome Odunze, who is expected to start, at least according to one depth chart, and then Keenan Allen. and then you have DeAndre Smith as your back. That is better than how many offensive cores in the league if you remove quarterback from the equation? Think about it here. Is that a better offensive offensive core, better weapons than what the Texans have? If you remove quarterback from the equation, would you rather have Tank, Nico, Diggs, or Keenan, DJ, Roma Dunze, and then you throw in DeAndre Swift and Joe Mixon?
That's close.
I think it really is close.
That's close. That's
yeah.
Because they're both, there's like analogs to each one where it's like kind of a, I guess.
Well,
it's tough.
There's proof.
It's tough because DJ Moore is really good.
He's really good. There's proof.
There's not a DJ Moore, like Nico Collins is DJ Moore?
I guess DJ Moore, yeah, it was Keenan Allen, Moore, I guess Stephon, the older players. But DJ Moore is a better player, at least proven-wise, than Nico.
That's what makes it tough.
Is yes.
That two of the Texans guys are one-year sensations.
Yes. You have a stat, and then Roma Dunze is a rookie, so we don't know. He would be the Tank comp, but Tank has done it already. He just got injured. Who knows what his season would have been like if he hadn't gotten injured. And then you have DeAndre Swift and Joe Mixon. Maybe Joe Mixon wins that one by a little bit.
That, I feel like that's the tiebreaker that goes
the Texans way.
Where the three receivers, it's, I don't know. That's a tough one to parse. But then, especially when one of the guys is a rookie. Yeah. I mean, you can like them all you like. But
we don't know what it's going to be.
You don't actually know.
Now, he's a higher drafted prospect. But Tank did what he did. We all know what type of player he is on the NFL level. We have no idea.
Drafted out of all of them.
Yeah, we just have no idea what Rome Odunze will be. But people expect good things from him. Good things from him. And, of course, throwing the quarterback, it's a clear Texans win because we don't know what Caleb Williams will be.
Yeah, and that's a bigger question mark.
It is. That's why I tried to exclude the quarterbacks from the equation because it's a clear win for the Texans when we know what CJ is. We have no idea what Caleb Williams will be, but he is the favorite to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. And as I said, would be the first time the number one overall choice has done it since good old Kyler Murray. You've got Marvin Harrison Jr. He's the next bet catching passes from Kyler Murray, as opposed to the quarterbacks who are on the list, followed by Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy and Drake May. Drake May and Bo Nix have the same odds at plus 1,600. Is Drake May going to play enough? I think they would hope that they don't have to play him because I think they want to be bad again.
And they don't have a lot around him. He was kind of viewed as more, not like projecty, but more developmental than the other guys. Half of them were in college for 5 years. So.
Yes.
They've already had their development.
Yes.
That's kind of where Drake May and Bo Nix, I'm not sure about.
And Drake May, now they went and drafted a couple wide receivers, young ones. Will they rush the process? Well, if he's good, then they'll just play him. But will they rush it because they want to build chemistry with these two? Do they want these guys? And who knows if those guys will play? The Patriots have Kendrick Bourne. There's another slot receiver, I'm forgetting his name right now, that they liked. So how much will their two wide receiver picks, I think it was Javon Baker and the other one is Jalen Polk, another of the Washington wide receivers that they took. How much time will those guys get? Will they I can't believe Devontae Parker is going to be taking snaps from anybody.
I don't know.
But he is a veteran. He's been around.
Steady hand.
And
steady stone hands.
Actually, I take it back. He's an Eagle now, so he's not in the picture. But Kendrick Bourne
so
is still there.
Snaps away from
no, he's
AJ
not taking
Brown
he's not taking Austin. Snaps away from any of those guys. Maybe they see him as a third receiver there. So there's an opening for one of those young receivers to play. In fact, there's an opening for both in New England. They don't really have a star there, but they do have some guys who have been. Pop Douglas is the other guy. Pop Douglas, who's a pretty good slot receiver, who made some plays for them, and then Kendrick Bourne is still around. So maybe those two get the first opportunities with Jacoby Brissett if he wins that job, and then we might see the younger guys get sprinkled in, and maybe Drake May follows them maybe halfway through the year. So I think the odds are kind of spot on. Caleb Williams is in a great spot to win it. He just has to be above average, and I think he wins it because the guys around him are going to, I think, prop him up before he's ready to do that for them.
Yeah, and the fact of just being a – if he is a good Bears quarterback, like the hype would be insane.
It would be insane.
All the records that he would break where you look at his numbers and you're like, this is just a normal quarterback.
All the
season.
Bears rookie quarterback numbers he's going to break. He might do that in week four.
He might break the, like – actual record, like the highs. If he throws for 4,000 yards, he will break the Bears all-time seasons single season record.
I mean your human eyes could tell you, we've all watched enough Bears football to know great quarterback play isn't part of their DNA, but the numbers were out there as the Caleb Williams draft was getting closer and closer. When that selection was getting, well, we all knew he was going to be a Bear, but as the draft kept getting closer and closer, the numbers started to come out about how bad the Bears have been from the quarterback position. It's not a high bar to clear.
Did you see the interview, like the clip from after they drafted Roma Dunze? And they, you know, have the local like radio station, whatever, the Bears flagship station, gets to talk to the draft picks. And they told him the like career leader in yards, in receiving yards for a Bears. It was like 5,000 yards, by the way.
Yeah.
And Roma Dunze goes, wait, for a career?
that was his. Well, 5,000 in a season would have been a record, sure. But yeah, 5,000 for a career.
A whole career? Yeah. And they're like, yes, a whole career, Rome. Yes.
The Bears have been so on brand about their identity for the longest time. It's always been defense and running the football. And, I mean, they won't lean into bad quarterback play. It's just what they've been.
It just happens.
It's just what they have been, and now they're going to try to change that. They certainly have the weapons to do it, and we'll see if the quarterback is the right one to get the job done. We're done for the day. Well, I say we all the time, and Sean always goes, not me. He'll be here till 3.
Almost halfway through.
Producing Gallant and George, and then the Killer Bees will follow that. Verlander on the mound tonight. The Astros try to go for 4 in a row. And would be a good start to what needs to be a big run if they're going to get back into the playoff chase. I'm done. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.